G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, February 18. I'm John Barker. Joining me today, just Carl Diorio with Joel Marshall enjoying a very well-earned four-week break. Carl, the excitement builds again after all the action of the Ore and Winx over last weekend with a Black Caviar Lightning at Flemington on Saturday, and what a crackerjack field has been assembled.
Great field. Big on numbers, but big on quality as well. It's really good to see that diversity in the field as well. The three-year-old colts, we've got a three-year-old filly. We've also got these emerging four-year-olds, and they're lightly raced as well. Horses that are probably well-credentialed at 12 and 1400, but starting off at 1,000 metres, there's plenty of talking points, and it's going to be a great race.
One of the talking points I've addressed in this week's Best Bets, which is that three-year-olds have had a great run in this race down the years, but not since Fastnet Rock won in 2005. So 11 years they've gone. They've been 25 three-year-olds running it over that time. They've got a couple of seconds and a couple of thirds. And some of them have been, well, some have been very smart horses, and some of them have been quite well fancied. Certainly when the noms came out this week, it was all about the three-year-olds, Flying Artie and Star Turn. And I gather you're with one of them.
I am, actually. I've got them as my quinella. I'll reveal which way later on. But I think also the fact, as you pointed out in your column in the Best Bets, you know, you had Takeover Target, Miss Andretti, Apache Cat, Cynic Blast, Black Caviar three times, Lincoln Rupee and Chautauqua. I mean, that's they're pretty fair sprinters, and you've got to be a pretty special three-year-old to knock them off.
Yes, indeed. We will get to the Black Caviar Lightning very shortly. We'll take you right through the black type racing at Flemington. And that starts with race four, which is another intriguing race down the Flemington Straight. This one over 1,100 metres. It is for two-year-olds. It is the Listed Talindit Stakes. And as you've written in Winning Post this week, Carl, just has taken on a slightly different aspect since it's been rescheduled on the calendar to just be 1 week before the Blue Diamond.
That's right. The past 6 years have been held 1 week before the Blue Diamond, so you're probably getting the horses that are a bit more progressive and a bit more untapped. So horses having their first or second start. We've had three of the last six winners win on debut. The other half have won at their second start. I'm going with a debutant here in number 15, Runway Queen, which starts from the outside barrier, which shouldn't be too much of an issue down the straight. Has had three jump outs to prepare herself for this contest. The second of those was very impressive, leading throughout. The first one had bombed the start, but mustered good speed and went to the line under a stranglehold. Those two jump outs gave Danny O'Brien the confidence to run Runway Queen in a Talindert jump out last Friday, a side up the straight, where it was up against Groundbreak, Deucimus, and also the another horse in the race that just escapes me. Actually, it didn't accept, sorry. And it actually just trolled really well. It was fantastic. It just was in the lead, and then the last 100 metres eased down and Groundbreak and Deucimus all went past. But certainly encouraged by that effort. I've got them on top at 16-1 from Groundbreak. I've put in the Lindsay Park horse, Sandat, in for third. That's number 10. And Lindsay Park, their two-year-olds, are absolutely flying at the moment. And fourth, I've put in number 3, Deucimus. So it is 15, 2, 10, and 3 in race 4.
Fairly similar numbers for me. I'm with the recent impressive first starter, Sandat, for Lindsay Park, number 10, to beat 2, Groundbreak, 15, Runway Queen. And for fourth, I've got in another first starter at huge odds, mind you. Trial back in spring wasn't too impressive, but I think it's been
it's trimmed up,
working and jumping out fairly well recently at Mornington and Balnarring, and that is number 7, Scud Time for Matt Laurie. Second of the black type races at Flemington on Saturday is race 5, the TAB Vanity, pitch the 3-year-old fillies against each other over 1400 metres at set weights and penalties.
Kadena on top for me. Kadena, I should say. It was a nice effort, I thought, at Flemington over this track and distance behind Oak Door. Obviously, that form line looks good after last weekend. And then last start at Caulfield, it just got out sprinted a little bit and then really got warm late. The blinkers go on. That should sharpen her up. And just hoping there's a bit of tempo in this race, which there might just be. Legless Verve looks the likely leader from Barrier 4, but Cassidy from Barrier 3 for Katie Mallion might actually have intentions of holding the front, and Extra Olives as well may cross over from Barrier 7. So I've got Kevedna on top from 3 Harlow Gold, who'll get back and be finishing on strongly. Recent jump outs have been good. Legless Vervin for third, she's the class runner and obviously did well first up, dictating terms. And for fourth, I'm putting in number 5, Princess of Queens, who's got the fitness edge, may lack the class, but is well related to Duke of Brunswick. We kind of know what sort of level to expect from her. I'm sure she'll be competitive.
Well, I hope to run along too, and don't just let Legless Verve dictate terms, because I'm with another one who's going to swoop, and that's number 2, Nurse Kitchen, first up for David Brightoak, from 1, Legless Verve, 3, Harlow Gold, and 5, Princess of Queens. Race 6 at Flemington on Saturday is the first leg of the quaddy. It is the C.S. Hayes Stakes, Colton Gelding's division of the Vanity, previously known as the Debonair, of course. Group 3 event, and Lindsay Park having a couple of goes at winning the race named after its patriarch.
And David's actually said several times, probably in the last couple of months, how eager he is to win this race. And so it's probably no surprise to see his best 3-year-old Seaburge resume in this race. And I've got him on top. I've made him the best of the day. I think he's just very well in at, under the weight conditions, the set weights and penalties. I was a bit... I didn't really like his chances in the McKinnon. I thought it might all come a bit too soon, and at the end of a long preparation, 2,000 metres, I was unsure, but geez, he showed his quality running Awesome Rock down to within 3/4 of the length. He's a quality horse. His recent jump outs have been good, and you've got to respect him up against his own age group. Got him ahead of 2, Morton's Fork, who was great, ran the quickest last 400 of the Manfred Stakes first up. He'll only improve over further. This will top him off nicely for the Australian Guineas. Third, number 3, Haydock, who's been a massive improver since they gelded him at the start of last campaign. He was good in the Manfred Stakes first up. And fourth, I've put in Snitson, the other Hayes runner in the race. He was too bad to be true last Saturday, pulled up lame. He also covered a bit of extra ground as well, and the tempo of the race didn't suit. Can be a bit of an improver. I've gone 1, 2, 3, and 8 in race 6.
I am with Morton's Fork, number 2. In fact, I've gone for the ones who weren't really suited by the tempo in that Manfred. It's beat 6, Inside Agent. But for 11, I've got for third, I've got number 11, Land of Plenty. And for fourth, number 3, Haydock. Pretty unusual in that you don't get too many Group 3 races where there is not a single, a 16 strong field in a Group 3 race where there's not a single last start winner, Carl.
That's a very fair observation, yeah. I mean, normally you'd get something pressing on from the main lead-up race, but of course Legless Verve being the only filly of the Manfred, she's in the Vanity, and it's left the boys without a last start winner.
Race 8 is the big one. Third leg of the quaddy at Flemington on Saturday. It is the Black Caviar Lightning. It is Group 1. It's 1,000 metres at standard weight for age. It is worth $750,000. Flying Artie and Star Turn, which way have you gone?
I went Star Turn to beat Flying Artie. Just think Star Turn more suited at 1,000 metres as opposed to Flying Artie. He's probably going to be at his best over slightly further, probably 1,200. Also felt that Star Turn in the Coolmore, he led them up. He stuck on well for third when beaten by Flying Artie, but I just think he's better ridden with a sit. Dwayne Dunn has echoed similar sentiments during the week, and the presence of Heatherly in the field I think ensures that Star Turn will have a bunny to follow. Important to note, Heatherly jumps from Barrier 3, Flying Artie jumps from 4, and Star Turn from 2, so it could be a bit like a bit of an inverted pyramid or some sort of V shape, if you can imagine Heatherly leading him up. Yeah, exactly.
Flock of geese,
exactly. Yeah. Just sitting off the hindquarters, and it'll make for a fascinating final 300 metres, and I think we'll see the best colt probably win in those circumstances. I've got 12 to beat 11. Headley in for third, I think she can stick on. She's a 1,000 metre specialist. This is her race. And for fourth, number 8, Stupido, who resumes here. Recent trial win on the heavy track was good in a pretty slick time, it must be said, for 800 metres on the rain-affected track. He's a bit unproven at this level. Third in the Goodwood, his most recent start behind Blackheart Bar, but I think he's got the capabilities of measuring up here fresh.
Yeah, I guess the intriguing thing is that there's not many of these who you would describe as 1,000 metre specialists. Heatherly, obviously, being a standout in that regard. Now, my selection is only $8.50, but Do you think I could get away with the description Forgotten Horse?
I think you could.
Terra Vista. Just remember, remember a couple of seasons ago when all those good sprinters were around, and Terra Vista was as good as any of them on his day. And it'd still be a bit of hunger, I would think, in the Joe Pride camp, because Joe Pride was touting him as probably as the best he'd, certainly the fastest horse he'd trained, and the fastest in Australia.
Ollie dropped his whip in this race last year and cost him victory.
Exactly. So there you go. There's a 1,000-metre performance, and you'd think he'd be pretty keyed up to win this race, or you'd think that the connections would be fairly keyed up to win the race. So I've actually made Terra Vista my best of the day. To beat 7 Spieth, 11 Flying Artie, and 10 Heavily. My best value bet for the day is the same as last week. Had a bit of a setback last week. Front's up again this week. Probably slightly less of a price. In race 9, I speak of number 9, O'Lonora. What's yours, Carl?
Same race. Race 9, number 4, Triforts. At $21, it was a good first up over the 1,400 metres at Caulfield behind Duke of Brunswick. Steps up to the 1,700. No doubt even further would suit, but I was really encouraged by the way he was strung through the line. 20-1, I think he's a great each way bet.
Alrighty. So up we go to Rose Hill Gardens, where they're probably the most intriguing feature of the day is the clash of 3 undefeated 2-year-olds. This might help sort out the wheat from the chaff to some extent ahead of the Golden Slipper. And this is the TAB Silver Slipper Stakes over 1,100 metres.
I have gone with Veronillo here, the beat. She Will Reign, Khan and Lucky Louie in for 4th. A very interesting race. I've just been impressed by Veronillo's, both his wins. Raced outside the lead in fast run races. Once on debut on a soft track, the most recent occasion, first up this prep on a dry track. And he's just really found plenty under pressure both times. I love the way when Cuba loomed up with 250 metres to go first up in that long rope plate, that he just fended him off, and it was almost like Cuba hit the brick wall, because it ended up finishing 5th in the 6-horse field. He just literally couldn't go any further. But Veronillo, very tough horse, well-bred, draws together, lovely run. And I guess She Will Reign, we're going to find out if she can run the 1,100. Certainly she can run 1,000 metres quick, and there's nothing that really suggests that an extra 100 metres will stop her. But until they do it, you never quite know. And $1.60, it's a bit short against this quality field. And 13 odds on favourites have been beaten this year in Sydney, 2-year-old races. So She Will Reign might be the 4th. That's quite a large number considering how many 2-year-old races there are.
Certainly is. You'd be surprised that there'd been that many odds on pops, let alone that they'd all got rolled.
Absolutely. So for 3rd, I put in Khan, who was a great winner of the Breeders' Plate and debut, and that race has obviously produced the likes of Sebring, Pierrot and Capitalist to then go on and win the Golden Slipper. They look the main 3, and then Lucky Louie, who's been placed at both starts but a bit unlucky on both occasions. I've got him in as a clear 4th pick.
I'm with you, Carr, with Veronillo as well. Race 6, Schweppes Hobartville Stakes, Group 2 for the 3-year-olds over 1,400 metres. They've all got 56.5.
Interesting race. I've gone with Inference on top, first up from a spell over the 1,400 metres. He's a son of So You Think. He'll get better over further. He was obviously luckless in the Victoria Derby, but I think he's got enough quality to measure up here over the shorter trip. The winkers go on at the expense of the one-eyed blinker. I think he'll be suited going right-handed as opposed to left-handed in Melbourne. And just think he really does appeal on an each-way basis. He has trimmed up from 11s into 850 in the early market. So I've got him on top from 4 coming through. He really does look the main danger. He was good first up in the Eskimo Prince. He ran the quickest last 600 in that race, and that was off a sit sprint tempo. So if there's any sort of speed on, coming through will be finishing home hard. For 3rd, I've put in number 6, Act Tour, who resumes from a spell, was competitive all the way through last campaign before pulling up lame in the Carbine Club at Flemington. And for 4th, I've put in the last start winner of the Eskimo Prince, Man From U.N.C.L.E. 2, 4, 6, and 5 in race 6.
Race 7 at Rose Hill Gardens on Saturday is the Randvet Millie Fox Stakes. 1,300 metres for fillies and mares at Group 2 level. And Carl, you have written on page 2 of Winning Post this week about how excited Nick Olive is to have his Group 1 winner Single Gaze back in this race and reckons she can run a big race as well, but you've left her out of your four.
I have, but it's a field leg of the quaddy. This is the biggest field leg of quaddy you've ever seen. It just, you have to take the F in the field in this quaddy, because they all can win. I've probably taken the coward's way out in picking Euro Angel, who'll probably be a $6 favourite, or at least is at this stage in early markets. But Euro Angel missed a place for the first time ever last start in the Meyer Classic, and that was in a Group 1 race. May have just come to the end of her prep, but her form prior was excellent. She flew through the grades, and she's trialled really well ahead of her resumption. So I've got her on top from 11 Imes a Lady, who pulled up with a slow recovery last time in the Breeders played the Group 2 level, but the form prior was quite good in finishing a close second at the Gold Coast 2 Private Secretary. For third, I've put in 9 Den Magic, and fourth, number 10 Circular. Both those two mares have smashed the clock in recent performances as well in their first up runs. So plenty of chances. They don't end there, and you can certainly make a case for single gaze. But I've gone 7, 11, 9 and 10.
The Black Type winds up at Rose Hill on Saturday with Race 8, the Parramatta Cup, a listed event over 1900.
Plenty of speed on paper in this race. I'm sure Red Excitement, Religify, and also Classic Uniform will be keen to find the front. That may just set it up for Olympic Academy, who won narrowly two starts ago when Hugh Bowman just was a little bit easy on the line and almost cost the horse victory, and he got a reprimand from stewards for that ride. And then Olympic Academy chased home Embley and Montauk last start off a sit sprint tempo. Embley and Montauk have been one of the two more informed performers in Sydney over the summer. So I think that form's quite strong. It only carries 53 kilos, and you know Olympic Academy can run out a strong 1900. So I've got it on top as my best bet of the day from 3 Allergic, 9 Classic Uniform, and 8 Dark Eyes.
As Carl mentioned, his best race 8, number 6, Olympic Academy, and we also went through the value bet, which was race 6, number 2, Inference. Racing on the course proper at Morfordville on Saturday, and there is a listed race. It is the Holdfast Insurance Birthday Cup, as we continue to work our way towards the Adelaide Cup early next month. And this is race 7, Carl, a listed event over 20 metres.
Giving Mail Within another chance, it was just edged out by Let Me Down Gently a fortnight ago in the Rain Lover, the main lead-up race to the Birthday Cup. That was over the 1,800 metres, and just got through the outside barrier, sat midfield, and just got nosed out on the line by Let Me Down Gently. Stays down in the weights as a consequence, and I've got it on top from 1 Extra Zero, this evergreen 10-year-old who was actually quite good. I felt not only his burning front run second up was, everyone saw it, how great he was from the rear end of the field, his last start run was less obvious as a 20-1 shot behind Goldstream, who led throughout, but the tempo was against him. He was entitled to finish further down the track, but he was only beaten a length and a half. Extra Zero's absolutely flying. For third, I have put in number 2 Goldstream, and for fourth, I've put in number 3 Jim's Journey.
And we go straight on to race 8 for your best of the day, number 5, Grand Chancellor.
Won well first up at Morfordville Parks, went on debut for Philip Stokes. Emily Finnegan was aboard that day. She retains the ride, came from well back in the field to finish home over the top. A son of Savabeel, still a colt, and I'm sure it'll eat up the 1,600 metres. The value bet comes up in the last. It's race 9, number 9, Let's Have a Win. This horse is trained by Will Clarkin, first up for the new stable, formerly trained by Chris Lees. Perhaps better over further, but there's another son of Savabeel, can sprint well fresh. You've always got to be wary of these Will Clarkin horses on debut in South Australia. There has been kept a bit shorter in betting than I would have liked. $6 or $7 is around. You never know. Big field, it may drift out towards the jump.
Eagle Farm is the venue for Brisbane racing on Saturday, and you start off with your best in race 5, number 15, Candica.
Candica got back in a class 3 race that set weights last time and was just gave him too much of a start. The tempo certainly was against Candica as an even money favourite, I should say, that day, and it did quite a good job, I felt, to finish 4th. Draws slightly better here on the weekend, meets a similar field, again stays low in the weights, and I think can get the job done. It's slightly better price with a few punters perhaps burnt from last start, not backing up, but you can get 250, 260 this time around, and I think Candica is going to be awfully hard to beat. The value bet comes up in the last race, race 8, number 15, the Ambassador. Now, this horse runs in an incredibly strong race. Plenty of depth. It is a filled leg if you can afford it. But the Ambassador on an each way basis, I like, because the first up run got back from a wide gate and hit the line nicely. And then second up at the Sunshine Coast, he just got held up at a crucial stage, but burst through late to just get beaten less than a length by Secret Mo. Third up, fit up, gets to the 1200 metres, and I can see a real good performance here from the Ambassador.
At Ascot on Saturday, there's a couple of black type races, and in the first of them, your best bet comes up. That is race 6, the Cyril Flower Stakes listed event, and you think Durandale can break a run of 3 consecutive seconds.
Former Victorian Durandale, as we all know, on the Eastern Seaboard, ran second to Divine Calling last time. Those two horses at the top of the weights in the Cyril Flower. Divine Calling goes up 1.5 kilos in the weights, and that just might be the difference. Both of them draw quite well. I'm surprised about Divine Calling's price. That's my second selection. It's almost double figure odds, while Durandale's kept a lot more shorter. But I think Durandale can get the job done from Divine Calling. For third, I've put in number 4, Potent Secret. And for fourth, number 12, Sekiros. In the other listed event there at Ascot, I've gone with 10, Nashville Cat, to get the job done. I think it was a bit of a forgive run as a beaten favourite last time, and I think he can be a bit of an improver at a good each-way price from 14, Regal Moon, who deserves to be the favourite. Third, number 6, Sandalwood, wears the blinkers first time, can be an improver first up. And for fourth, I'm putting in number 15, The Escape Plan, who really won quite well on the provincial circuit last time. Steps up in grade, but does show plenty of ability. The other selection I should mention is my value bet. That comes up in the last race, 8, number 9, Majinka. Majinka won first up, draws barrier 1. It should race up on the speed and be prominent throughout. There does look to be a bit of early pace in the race, so don't be surprised if they do elect to take a set, but I think Majinka will be hard to beat with Candlelight Star and Settlers Creek looming as the main dangers.
Okay, earlier in the day, Ellerslie is the venue, main venue. There's also some races at Pukekura, but Ellerslie the main venue for New Zealand racing on Saturday, and the former Western District galloper St John lines up in race 7, the Avondale Cup. The Group 2, but it's in the other Group 2 where your value bet comes up, Carl. That's the race 6, the Retina Specialists Avondale Guineas, over 2100, and you with Char Siu Bao.
Char Siu Bao, that's right. Has run fourth of these past 3 starts. He ran fourth in the New Zealand 2000 Guineas in November, then ran on New Year's Day, ran fourth in the Great Northern Guineas over the mile, and he had a month between runs. He ran a fortnight ago in the Waikato Guineas over the 2,000 metres, and he ran fourth behind Windspiel, who they then meet again on Saturday. I feel he'll strip a lot fitter with the shorter turnaround in races here. I feel also that he's capable of turning the tables on Windspiel because he draws a better barrier, won't get as far back, and he's just got a big finishing burst on him, and his two runs this campaign have been against the tempo. So I do like Charles Subao with an each-way basis, but the great race, Camino Roscoe, Sacred Elixir, Windspiel, they look the main four, but even Romancer and Redeem the Dream have got winning chances. A great race. The Avondale Cup, I've gone with 5 to Midnight on an each-way basis, a very honest performer that's down in the weights. I think it's an each way bet to nothing. Sunjean might struggle with that big weight with 59 kilos. Elsewhere on the card, I really like race 5, number 11, Cote d'Ivoire, who really hit the line nicely last time on that Crack a Million meeting at Ellerslie. It has won its maiden and then won at benchmark 65 level and then flew home for 7th. 1600 metres is right up its alley. And also, I Am Gracie, race 1, number 9, was very unlucky last time. And Eleonora, first up in race 4. So there's plenty of great racing at Ellerslie and Pukekura as well. There's a few stakes races there. Nashville, race 6, number 4. He hasn't won for over a year. It's been 13 months since his last win. But he's racing really well. He drops back in grade. He's a couple of kilos off the minimum. And he might just surprise a few with odds.
All right, that wraps up a big Saturday around Australasia. On Friday night, there is a listed race at Moonee Valley, the Valley indeed, and there's in fact a double header Valley and Canterbury meetings, both covered in full in your winning post. There's a listed event at the Valley, as I mentioned. It is race 6, Advanced Mailing Solutions, Tawny Night Cup.
I've gone with Big Memory, who won this race 3 years ago. I think he ran quite well behind Chance to Dance. Look, he's got that non-winner tag, and people question whether he's genuine. He's a dual runner-up of the Mornington Cup, and he always seems to find one better. But a month and a half between runs last time, stepping up from 1600 to 24, that probably just told late. He does look well placed in this event. He worked well on Monday morning at Moonee Valley, He has a good record at the track as well. So I've got him on top, and it does look quite a good race. And just interesting to see how Northwest Passage lines up. It's actually entered for the Sydney Cup. He might actually be heading that way, which should be be the first time we've seen a three-year-old contest the Sydney Cup in a long, long time.
It certainly will. The other black type across the weekend is at Launceston on Sunday, and we've got it in your winning post. We've also got we've got the Vamos Stakes and the Tasmanian Oaks at Launceston. We've got full form for that meeting, also full form for the massive we've got a few full form for a few country championship qualifier meetings over the weekend, and in particular the one at Dubbo on Sunday is a massive meeting. Full form for that in your winning post, still only $5. The Tasmanian Oaks sees the local and Picket Fence Merchant Hot Dipped coming up against Archie Alexander's Wheel Leisure. Any initial thoughts about that car?
Wheel Leisure off that last win at Moonee Valley, I'm sure will be very competitive, and Hot Dipped won't be hard to topple on home turf. I'd probably say Wheel Leisure though from Hot Dipped. I just think Wheel Leisure's got endless supply of stamina based on that win at Moonee Valley. It was a great performance. The Vamos, I think Liuba's in that field, isn't she?
And yeah, she
came second the other day. You'd think it's probably between Liuba and I Love It to fight over the crumbs after finishing behind Ocean Embers last time.
Yes, indeed. And that is certainly the thoughts of the Winning Post panel, all going for Liuba to beat I Love It. That leaves us only to remind you to pick up your winning post if you haven't already. Form for Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and all your favourite features as well. Finally, our best $20 bet of the weekend as I go for 5 in a row. Should I go with Terra Vista? Nah. Look, I think I will. I am going to go with Terra Vista. Yeah. Flemington, race 8, number 1, Terra Vista.
That'll test out the winning stroke as well. We'll know how hot you are after that. I'll go with Seabird, race 6, number 1. David Hayes trying to win the race named in honour of his father.
Okay, have a great weekend, everybody. Back plenty of winners. We'll talk to you next week on the Preview Podcast.